Blog Talk Radio. somebody great or praise the Lord. I don't know if you can hear it out there, but I was getting a little bit of static on the song. But there's nobody greater, amen. His name is above all names, and he is worthy to be praised of all of my praise. He's certainly worthy of all of my praise, and I pray that he is worthy of all of your praise as well. Well, good afternoon. Good morning to some. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons coming to you with the Woman to Woman broadcast on today, the Woman to Woman show. It's a blessing and an honor to be able to come into your homes, to come on your phones, to come through your internet, your computers, amen, to talk to you on today here on the Woman to Woman show. Today we're going to be talking about dealing with the storms of life, dealing with the storms of life. And I tell you, all of my the callers, the guests, the people that will be calling in, it is going to be a blessing. So I encourage you to let somebody know that Pastor Rebecca Simmons is on the air with the Woman to Woman show. And just tell them to tune in. They can tune in by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/power or by calling 646-652-4832. And I tell you, we want to spread the word and let people know about the Woman to Woman broadcast. They can be tweeted. You can tweet people. You can Facebook people. You can get on the phone and call somebody, text somebody, whatever you have to do to get the word out, to let people know to tune into this great broadcast, because God definitely wants us to talk about dealing with the storms of life, especially in the middle of a storm right now. We're in the middle of a storm right now, a natural storm. Hurricane Irene is hitting the eastern coast of the United States, amen, of America right now. I believe she's in North Carolina, and they're under storm watch until about 8 o'clock tonight. And then we in New Jersey will be under storm watch. She's going to come through Virginia and hit New Jersey sometime tonight. That's where I am. And, you know, parts of New Jersey, parts of New York have been evacuated, the parts by the water, but I don't live by any water, so I don't really have to be concerned about evacuating, amen. There is a lot of panicking going on, but I want to say to you, don't panic. Be encouraged. Know that God is in control. It's just a storm. We're going to get through this. We've gotten through worse, and we're going to get through this. Amen. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. Amen. So we're going to get through this storm. Amen. And I want you all to call in. My switchboard is lit up. I want to say hello to everybody in the chat room. I want to say hello to Gazelle Simmons. Listen, Gazelle was my co-host last week. She was my co-host last week. And she was a blessing. She did a great job, I tell you. She did a phenomenal job as my co-host on last week. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we were talking about dealing with the pain of the past, amen. And I see Stan is back. God bless you, Stan. Stan called in when Ms. Dana Neal was on as my guest, and Stan had a phenomenal outlook on dealing with abuse. So I want to just give Stan some applause, amen, because he called in. He's a man, and he called in to let his voice be heard. And I see Ms. Dana Neal, my God, in the chat room, amen, and she came on. She's the author of No Longer a Victim, and I want to give her some applause. Amen, for taking a stand. For everybody who's listening, now here's some applause for you. Amen, amen. Amen. Because you're still standing. Amen. You didn't give up. You didn't quit. You stayed with it. You know, how many of you know that storms will come in life? But it's not the fact that a storm comes. It's how are you going to handle the storm when it does come. Life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you respond to it. So you have to make up your mind right now, you know, even in the middle of this natural storm and some of the spiritual storms that are coming your way, how are you going to handle the storms that happen in your life? A lot of people go back to old behavior and start doing stuff that's crazy. And now I want to say, don't get a permanent solution for a temporary situation. You know, you might be going through right now, but trouble does not last always. Amen. This too shall pass. You're going to get through this. I just wrote a note in on Facebook a couple of days ago entitled, "Don't Let the Storm Stop You." Don't let the storm stop you. And I just want to just take a minute to read that. And then I'm going to take some calls and have you all talk to me about the storms that are going on in your life and how are you handling the storm, whether it's Irene or your kids or your spouse, your money, problems on the job, or just life. How are you handling the storms? So let me just read this, and then I'm going to go ahead and take some calls. As we are facing and experiencing storms in the natural, realize that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of love, power, and a sound mind. Know that God has put you in the palm, know that God has you in the palm of his hand, and that no storm in life can do you any harm. God says that the waters will not overtake you. Jesus spoke to the storm and said, "Peace, be still." In the same way as the storms in the natural occur, so many of us are experiencing spiritual storms in our lives. Realize, my friend, that whatever the storm is that is going on in your life, that storm will not take you out. The Bible tells us that the thief comes but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus said, "I have come so that you might have life and have that life more abundantly." The devil will devise a plan against you to kill, steal, and destroy the plans that God has for your life. You have to realize that God is in control and that no weapon that the devil forms against you can prosper. Know that you can endure the storm. You can endure the storm. Let me just say that again. You can endure the storm. God has a great plan for your life, and as the storms form and the weapon is forged, do not allow the devil to stop you from moving forward. Do not allow anyone or anything to stop you from moving forward, to do, be, and have all that God has called you to do, be, and have. As I said before, God is in control. God's plan is to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. God's plan shall prevail in your life. Did you hear me? God is going to get the glory in your life. You are already more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. You are not just an overcomer, but you're more than an overcomer. You're more than a conqueror. This storm may delay the process, but even more than that, see it as a part of the process to build the character in you that you will need when you get to your destination. Don't let the storm stop you. You are on your way somewhere. Anybody going somewhere out there? I don't know about you, but I'm going somewhere. Amen. I know that I have a purpose for my life. You have great goals and dreams and aspirations that you are striving for. And you have to know that you're going somewhere, and the storm will come, but you cannot allow the storm to stop you from getting to your destination. Listen, the gates of hell may be trying to come against your destiny right now, but be encouraged. People may be walking away from you, but do not be dismayed. You may not have any support, but you know what? That's okay. You may not have enough money, but hold on. You might be weak in your body, but rejoice in the Lord anyhow. You might be tired, but God's going to renew your strength. You might be frustrated, but pray, and God will give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. You might even feel like giving up, but don't quit. Don't let the storm stop you. If you pray, if you keep praising God, if you keep walking on water in spite of the wind and the waves, if you hold on to God's unchanging hand, if you stand on the word of God, if you cover yourself with the blood of Jesus, if you keep on keeping on, if you refuse to quit, if you ignore the naysayers, if you refuse to be afraid, if you keep your eyes on Jesus, if you forget about your haters, if you forgive those who treat you wrong, if you love your enemies, if you seek the kingdom of God, if you humble yourself, if you just believe, if you rejoice in the middle of your trial, and if you keep the faith, believing that God will keep his word, you're going to make it through this storm. The storm was sent by the devil to stop you. God's going to use the storm to promote you. Ha, glory. Hallelujah. Don't worry about people. Let me say that again. Don't worry about people. People are people. They're going to let you down. They're going to hurt you. They are going to reject you, hate on you, and abandon you. People are people. But then there are those who will encourage you. There are those who will support you with no hidden motives. There are those who will love you, and there are those who will stick close by you. They are the ones that are truly sent by God for your life. Yes, what I'm saying is that people can be a part of the storm. But whether they love you or whether they hate you, whether they abandon you or support you, whether they reject you or accept you, you cannot let people dictate to your joy. You cannot let people stop you from moving forward to greatness. Greatness is in you. Greatness is on the inside of you. If people are a part of your storm, just keep on loving them, up close or from a distance, whatever it takes, and keep on moving forward. I know it's a long, long post, but there's a short moral of this story. So this I will repeat. The storm was sent by the devil to stop you. God's going to use this storm to promote you. Finally, in closing, I say this. The storms of life are not going to stop. Did you hear me? I want everybody who's listening to hear what I just said. The storms of life are not going to stop. As long as the day is long, there's going to be a storm in somebody's life. If you haven't been in a storm, you might be on your way in one soon. And if you're not on your way in one, you might be on your way out of a storm. And if you're not on your way out of a storm, then chances are that you have enough experiences with a storm to know what one feels like. So know that the storms of life are not going to stop, but you must declare, I am not going to let the storm stop me. And I want you to just take a moment now to go ahead and declare it. I am not going to let the storm stop me. My God, that's it. I heard that. I heard it loud and clear. Don't let the storm stop you. Know that God loves you, and so do I. And there's no storm in heaven or hell that can stop the plan that God has for your life. So I want to encourage you to keep on moving on. Amen. In the name of Jesus. We have a hand raised. Amen. We're going to put Pastor Anthony on the air. Pastor Anthony, you're on the air. Welcome to the Women to Women broadcast.
Amen. That was powerful what you just shared with us. We know we're buckling down in the state of New Jersey and this New York area because they say a storm is coming our way. And it's just amazing that you encourage the people of God today, you know, to buckle down and anchor into God and hold on to his unchanging hand. So I thank you for that word of encouragement.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, the storm is coming, and you know, it's just so symbolic because as we're this is the worst storm that we have had in about 25, 26 years, according to the news. We haven't had a hurricane like this to be even thinking about up in this area in over 25 years. So even in the same way, there's some people that are listening to us right now, Pastor Anthony, that have gone through some storms or are in the middle of a storm right now that's the worst than it's ever been in their whole lives, and they're having a hard time dealing with it.
Amen. You know, we spoke to some people today in our ministry. Some people are going through things they've never been through in life. Even you and I are dealing with something new. At the beginning of the year, it's amazing. We ministered at our Watch Night service. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. And you said it during this time that God is building up something new in our lives, even in the midst of what we're dealing with. So I'm just encouraged that God's going to get the glory. He brought us through it. You said often, if he can bring you to it, he'll bring you through it. So we might have to go over it, around it. Some of us got to go under it, but some of us, God willing, can go through it. So I'm just encouraged today. And if I can segue into our marriage moment, I'm ready for that if you're ready.
Amen, Pastor.
Amen. Well, it's some things that we shared on Wednesday in our church midweek service coming from the life of Abraham and Sarah, where Abram and Sarai did not wait on the Lord and was of good courage, and they went and took matters into their own hands. Although God gave Abram a promise that he would bring forth seed, and through that seed, all descendants will be birthed, and he will be a father of all nations and all seeds of the earth. He went into Hagar at Sarah's request, and he agreed, and they were out of the will of God. But, Pastor Rebecca, I'm here to tell married couples today that God is a God of second chances.
Yeah.
As we read the account in Genesis, God had to literally change Abram's name to Abraham, which means father of all nations, and he changed Sarai's name to Sarah. So he had to totally transform them in their thinking to line up with his will, and then they got the promise of God and the blessing of Isaac, and the rest is history. And I'm here to tell married couples today, if you hold on and wait, though it tarries, as Rebecca said, wait, it shall surely come to pass. And many of our marriages are going through today, but I'm here to tell you, weeping may endure for a night, but joy is about to come up in your situation.
Hey.
And the joy of the Lord really is your strength. You got to know that you're a winner. Your marriage is already blessed. You got to know that you and your husband, you and your wife are more than conquerors. You got to know that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And during that lesson, one of the questions, even after Abram and Sarah got out of the will of God, he asked them, is anything too hard for God? I feel God. Is anything too hard for God? And some of you out there who are listening to us, you think your situation is impossible. I mean, you already consulted divorce court. You already consulted an attorney. Some of you already, call yourself being separated. But I'm here to tell you to hang in there, because there's nothing too hard for God. There is nothing too hard for God. During this recession, many of us are going through financially. Maybe that husband has lost their job. Maybe that wife has lost her main source of income. But I want to tell you, hang in there. Sometimes we got to even swallow our pride and ask for help. But whatever you got to do, hang in there. Because as God asked them that question, they realized we need to just trust God. And I'm telling you, no matter how hard your marriage looks today, how difficult it may look, some of you wondering where the love has gone, where's the fire gone? And God is saying to you, some of what you're dealing with is part of this recession. Some of what you're dealing with is part of probably your disobedience. But God is able.
Yeah.
if you hang in there, trust me, I don't care how long your marriage has not turned around to be what you want it to be, hang in there and watch God put you two on solid footing once again. And
yeah.
Finally, Pastor Rebecca, I'm going to wrap it up with this. We had a conference at our church early this year, and the theme was, can you praise under pressure? Some of you, glory be to God, some of you are under tremendous pressure. The bills just keep pouring in. You don't see a way out. And it's just pressure like you've never faced before. But can you praise under the pressure that you're under? Because when you praise God, he will show up. He is a very present help in a time of trouble. And if you begin to praise God, like Paul and Silas did in that prison, as you begin to praise God, the earth is going to quake. Your situation is going to be shaken. God is going to get the glory. I dare you to praise God right now, even in the midst of your soul that's raging in your marriage. Because when you praise him, you get your breakthrough. When you praise him, you get your miracle. When you praise God, you get a release and you get catapulted into another dimension in him, and no weapon formed against you and your spouse will be able to prosper. I declare it over your life in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 My goodness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's a praise break right there, Pastor Anthony. That's a praise break right there. Because God, I mean, to even the single and the married, I know that was resounding, those words that you spoke out into the atmosphere, to believe God, to endure to the end, and to praise God, knowing that nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is too hard for God. You know, even as the rains are coming down, even here in New Jersey, even as the winds are blowing, even as the storm is forming, my God, we are confident, and we have to be confident that we can get through that thing, even in our marriages, you know. My God, Pastor Emily, that is just so powerful, because so many marriages are going through, because we're under pressure. You know, we're under pressure because we stand and making a stand for God. We're under pressure because we're not going to compromise. We're under pressure because of the economy, because of the storms that are forming in our lives. We are under pressure. And the first thing that we normally do under pressure is look for a way out. But I'm here to tell somebody today that Jesus is your way out. My God, that like Pastor Anthony said, praise is your way out. My God, hallelujah, prayer is your way out. Just begin to call on the name of Jesus. My God, Pastor Anthony, that is just so powerful, and I just thank you. I'm reminded of Peter and the disciples in the ship, when they were going to the other side, and the wind and the waves came, the storm came, and they saw Jesus walking on water, and Jesus came over to the ship, and Peter said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out to you. Let me do what you're doing. Let me walk on water. And Jesus said, come. But Peter got off the boat and was walking on that water, and then the waves and the wind started to come, and Peter started to sink, and he said, Lord, help me.
Yes.
My God, Lord, help me. And we just got to open our mouths and say, Lord, help me. And God is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. My God, powerful Pastor. And you just stirred up something in me. To God be the glory.
Amen. You know, praise, I can't even call it a secret weapon, but there's power in praise and there's power in prayer. And God gave every believer that ability, and that's what get us through. That's why we can't walk by sight. We got to walk by faith. But it's something about praise that stirs up your spirit. When you begin to say, Lord, I love you in spite of. Lord, I call on you. I worship you in the midst of this. When you begin to praise God and give him thanksgiving, something happens to your spirit, and your spirit overpowers your flesh, and you begin to get a new perspective of your situation.
Amen. Amen. You get it. a new perspective of your situation. And that's just so powerful. When we look at our marriages and our lives as part of the process that God uses, when we look at our problems and our the problems in our marriages and the problems in our lives as part of the process that God is using to get us to our destination, then we can truly say we have a proper perspective of what's really going on within that storm. You know, it's just so powerful what you're saying, Pastor Anthony. I mean, when we can praise God anyhow.
Amen.
In spite of the trial, in spite of the tribulation, then that is showing God. Well, we're showing God. And even in the middle of the marriage moments, if we could praise God in spite of the fact that my husband might be acting like a fool or my wife might be acting like she's lost her mind, if we could praise God in spite of the fact that we haven't spoken, we are showing God, I believe you for this marriage. I'm not going to let, and that's what I was saying with the piece that I read, that people can be a part of your storm. And as a matter of fact, the devil uses people all the time to bring the storm. But you got to realize that the storm can't come unless God allows the storm. And God is so magnificent and so great that he always uses the storm for his glory. See, something good is going to come out of this. You know, if you're having some problems right now in your marriage, in your life, and you're in a storm right now, you got to tell yourself something good is going to come out of this. And when you have that perspective, you can't help but praise God. You can't help but praise him. And when you praise God, you're saying to God, Lord, I believe you. I'm not going to believe what I see because I'm not walking by sight, but I'm going to believe what you said because I'm living by faith. Ah, Pastor Emily, that's powerful. That's powerful. Amen. So, Pastor Emily, you still with me? Amen. Amen. Well, I've been talking to my wonderful husband. Pastor, I know you have to go.
Hello?
Yes, I know you have to go.
Yes.
Amen. Well, I want to thank you, honey. I want to just thank you so much for coming and sharing with me. Hallelujah. You deserve that and more, baby. You deserve that and more. So I want to thank you for coming and sharing with us for the marriage moments on today. Amen. So Pastor Emily had to go. I pray that he heard his applause, but if he didn't, I'll be sure to give him some applause later when I see him. Amen. He is out in the middle of the storm working today in the middle of the storm. For those of you who don't know, Pastor Anthony is FedEx, amen, hallelujah, and he's faithful, amen. He's a man of integrity, a man of character, a man of God, and he takes time out to be on his wife's show, amen, to do the marriage moments every single week. And this is a week after we buried the remains of his mother who went home to be with the Lord, and God is strengthening him, amen. So I just thank God for Jesus. Amen. I just thank God. That's my home phone. Amen. I just thank God for Jesus on today. Amen. That he sent this man my way. Well, Pastor Anthony has gone. The marriage moments are over. But that was powerful. The phone lines are open, 646-652-4832. We were talking about dealing with the storm, and Pastor Emily made some powerful points. I want to take a moment to pray for those who are right now dealing with the storm. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name and we worship you. We magnify your name on today. Lord, I thank you for every person listening to this broadcast on today, Lord. And we, Father God, together lift up each and every individual in our lives that are dealing with a storm right now, Lord. This Hurricane Irene, oh God, I pray, Father God, for each person, Lord, who's going to be impacted by Hurricane Irene, Lord. And even as you did, Father God, I even hold back the winds and I hold back the rain, Father God. And I say, peace be still to this hurricane called Irene. Peace be still to the wind and peace be still to the rain. And I declare, Father God, minimal, no damage, oh God, no casualties, oh God, in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, for every person, oh God, that's dealing with the rain and the winds, Father God, I just thank you, Father God, for watering the earth, oh God, and that you are in control, oh Lord. And I command the hurricane, Father God, to cease in the name of Jesus. We command, touching and agreeing on one accord, this hurricane to cease in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. We cover with the blood each and every life, Father God, each and every life of our loved ones, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Those who are dealing, Father God, with this storm, oh God, we just declare peace, Father God, and not panic, oh God. And we declare, Father God, that, Father God, you are able to keep us even in the middle of this storm, even in the middle of a hurricane, oh God. And I speak to everybody going through a spiritual storm right now, God. I pray for each person, Father God, who's troubled in their hearts, oh God. And I speak peace to their personal storm. I speak peace, be still to your heart. I bind up the hand of Satan off of your emotions right now in the name of Jesus. And I declare you loose, even as you're remembering some pain of the past, and even as you're dealing with some trouble in your life right now, I speak peace to that situation in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, I just thank you. I speak peace to every marriage, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that's going through a storm, or we bind up the spirit of divorce, and we lose, Father God, we lose reconciliation, oh God, the spirit of reconciliation into the lives of your people. So God, have your way, and we just thank you, Lord, that we do not live by fear, but we walk by faith, and we praise you anyhow, and we rejoice in you anyhow. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Amen. God is good. I see the alabaster jar in the chat room and guest 950. Welcome to Woman Show. Amen. And know that you're welcome to call in 646-652-4832. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons. And we're talking about dealing with the storms of life. And earlier I read something that I have written on Facebook. I invite you to connect with me on Facebook. That's Pastor Rebecca Simmons on Facebook, and also to become a part of the Woman to Woman Empowerment Group, the Woman to Woman Empowerment Group. And you can find that on Facebook also by searching for it and asking to join the group, or by connecting to me and letting me know that you would like to be a part of the Woman to Woman Empowerment Group on Facebook. We have a conference call scheduled for next Friday at 8 o'clock, from 8 o'clock until 10 o'clock, where we're just going to talk. I want to talk to the women in the group, amen, and see what's going on with you and see if I can counsel you in any way. And I'll be bringing forth a word also on next Friday between the hours of 8 o'clock p.m. and 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Amen. I am the pastor with my husband, Pastor Anthony Simmons, New Creation Christian Ministries. We're at 87 First Street, and we invite you to come and be a part of our worship experiences every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock a.m. Amen. 11 o'clock a.m. And we do have children's church. Come as you are. We have a very real experience. Amen. So if you like to wear a suit, you can wear a suit. If you want to wear jeans, you can wear jeans. Amen. Just be decent and in order. Amen. But come as you are. And look, whatever is your best thing that you have, you know, as far as I say, decent in the order, if you just have shorts and a T-shirt, And if that's all you have, then come. You're welcome. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So we invite you to come to New Creation Christian Ministries. And also my women's conference is coming up October the 7th, the 8th, and the 9th. Mark your calendars, October the 7th, 8th, and 9th. Amen. And I'll be giving more detail about that. You can find information on my website at nccmonline.org. Amen. Amen. And praise the Lord. We're in New Jersey. Alabaster Jar, we are in New Jersey, Elizabeth, New Jersey. Where are you located? And it's good to see you here on the Woman to Woman broadcast. We're at 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey, and Jesus is our focus. Amen. Jesus is our focus. Our mission is to radically change lives, families, and communities to the glory of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. So that is our mission. For everything that I do, that's my mission. Amen. The Woman to Woman Empowerment Group, the Woman to Woman Show, the Facebook, everything that I do, church, writing my books. I have 4 great books. You want to read them, Nobody's Business, The Cry of a Woman's Heart, Healing the Pain of the Past, Traveling the Road to the Victoria's Living, Daddy Love's Not Available, Pump Up the Power, Get the Life You Want, and Don't Die in the Wilderness. Again, you can find out that information on my website. But those are, I tell you, and you talk about getting through a storm. Listen, I've had some storms in my life, and these books are all birthed out of my storms. You know, as the Lord is transitioning me through life, one thing I've found is that the storm is consistent. And listen, if you're anointed, you can expect to be in a storm. If you're sold out to Jesus Christ, you can expect to be in a storm. If you're prophetic and or one of the fivefold ministry gifts, you can expect to be in a storm. If you're a praiser, you can expect to be in a storm. If you're a prayer warrior, my God, expect the storm. Because listen, this is a time in the season where the devil is coming against all of the true saints of God. Let me just say that again. This is a time in the season when the devil is coming against all of the true saints of God. If you say, for God I live and for God I die, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand, if that's your declaration, then I can guarantee you you're in a storm right now. Because, listen, the devil has sent out the spirit of assassination against your purpose. And see, what we don't understand is that we have a very real enemy. And what we can do is we can look at people and we can point our fingers at people because, like I said before, people are a part of the storm. You know, people will say, well, the people are not your enemy. The devil is your enemy. Well, I used to say that, but I don't agree with that because the Bible tells us to love our enemies. So we must have people that are enemies. And let me tell you, an enemy can come in the form of a friend. You know, an enemy can be somebody who comes to you and they act like they're for you, but really they're against you. And, you know, and that's the thing that really throws you for a loop because you never expect your storm to come from a friend. You never expect your storm to come from a family member. But what happens so often is that the devil uses those people that are closest to you to try to get to you because the devil knows that your heart is open to those people. And see, as long as your heart is open to those people, then those people are able to get in and hit you where it hurts. My God, you know, I can't tell you how many times I have had women come into my life and they've befriended me, frenemies, that's it, Gazelle. My God, I can't tell you how many times I have had people, women, come into my life and they have befriended me. My God, they have befriended me. I mean, I was the best thing since Kool-Aid. And they have loved me or said they loved me. And they have spoken highly of me and they have worked in ministry with me and they have, you know, just been in my home and broken bread with me and come to the church and, you know, served me. But then in the end, they put the dagger in my chest, right in my heart. I'm not talking about in my back. You know, I mean, my God, backstabbers, you know, smiling faces tell lies sometimes, and ain't that the truth, you know, but backstabbers, but how about heart stabbers, you know, and the devil will use those people because you're open. You know, people that I love have hurt me, you know, and I have been so injured and so wounded, and the Lord showed me that that's the spirit of assassination. See, that's that spirit of assassination because of the anointing. See, because of the anointing on your life, I said it before, I'll say it again, the devil has, in his counsel, just like God has his counsel, the devil has his counsel with his demons, and he gets his demons together, and they come to meet with the devil, and the devil tells that spirit of assassination, go out and get her. Yeah, go out there. You know Alabaster Jar? You know what she says she's getting ready to do for the Lord? I want you to go out there, and I want you to put a knife in her heart. I want you to get into somebody that she loves and deceive them. So deceiving spirit, you go with the spirit of assassination. And I want you to get into the heart of that person, and I want you to deceive that person and make them think the Alabaster Jar is not all that you think that Alabaster Jar is. And I want y'all to wound Alabaster Jar. I want you to cripple her. And if you can, don't kill her, because I want to get the glory. See, I want her to get off course. See, I want her to forsake what she's doing for the Lord. I need her to get off course. I need to hurt her so that she's wounded and crippled so that she'll grab a hold to the Lord that I'm going to send. Now, temptation, now I need you to go and be on standby so that when she falls, you can step in and tempt her. And weakness, I'm sending you. And fear, I'm sending you too, because I need her to be weak and scared. Come on, somebody. So now when all of that is going on, and I send out the temptation, I send that man, or I send that drug, or that drink, or I send that money, my God, then she won't be able to resist me. My God, hallelujah, because she'll feel like God has forsaken her. Amen. And that's what the spirit of assassination is sent to do, but the spirit of assassination does not come by him or herself. The spirit of assassination brings back up. Amen. That's why you have to be rooted and grounded in the Lord, and you have to be determined that you're going to keep moving forward, and you're not going to allow the devil to take you off course. Amen. Hallelujah. See, you all have greatness in you. You're going somewhere. See, God has called you into the kingdom for such a time as this, because he has a great plan for your life. So God has a great plan for your life, and because the devil was kicked out of heaven, my God, Satan was kicked out of heaven, but your names are written in heaven. You see what I'm saying? That means that God has already established greatness over your life. Because he has to get the glory. He has to get the glory out of your life. That's why he's anointed you for this season. That's why you're in the kingdom, Esther, for such a time as this. God has anointed you, and there's a divine appointment for you where there's going to be a moment where everything's going to be spectacular, and you're going to be doing exploits for the Lord. Greater things are you going to do. Amen. And God's going to get the glory. But see, the devil knows his time is short. That's why he's sending the spirit of assassination. Not sending. That's why he has sent the spirit of assassination to kill you. To kill your purpose. He doesn't really want to kill you. He wants to kill your purpose. He wants to kill your zeal. He wants to stop you from serving God. He wants to stop you from praising God. He wants to stop you from preaching. He wants to stop you from praying. He wants to stop you from worshiping God. He wants to stop you from telling people about God's goodness. He wants to stop your testimony. He wants to get you in a corner somewhere depressed. And the devil is already defeated. Let me say it again. The devil is already defeated. Amen. And I'm just teaching this real. I'm just giving it to you real because I'm living this, you know. And I'm Alabaster John C., you said you done lived it twice already. And I'm living this thing, you know. And when you live in this thing, see, what happens is, you know, once you fool me once, shame on you. You fool me twice, shame on me. If you get me a third time, then I'm really slipping, amen, and I need to get back on top of my game. Do you hear what I'm saying? You and I have to stay on top of our game, and what's our game? Our game is glorifying the Lord, amen, and all that we do and all that we say and all that we are, in him we live and move and have our being, amen. You know, we're not playing, you know, and our game is for keeps. We're not playing church. Come on, somebody. I'm tired of playing church. See, I'm not playing church games, you know, church games. I'm playing for keeps, amen. I'm armed and dangerous. I have on the full armor of God. I have a sword, the double-edged sword, which is the word of God, and I'm taking prisoners. I'm taking every thought captive and making it obedient to Christ. Amen, and to the word that God has spoken over my life. Come on, yeah. So that's how we're going to deal with this storm. Let's keep it. Let's just this put up your dukes. See, I'm a fighter. See. What does Philly say? All my life I had to fight. You know, yeah. That's my story. All my life I had to fight, and I'm a fighter. Amen. And you're a fighter, amen. And we're more than conquerors. Come on. We're not weak, willy-nilly, Christian. Oh, Lord, ooh, the devil needs to leave me alone. No, no. Devil, I cast you back into the pit of hell. And I send all your demons on assignment with you. And I declare that I'm not taking no more nonsense from you. See, we have to stand up and take authority, amen, hallelujah. You have authority. I have authority. There's a, I'm taking calls. Y'all can call in. Amen. I am taking calls. Amen. 646-652-4832 and push one if you want to be on the air. But see, in the Bible, Jesus talks about power. He tells the disciples to go and wait for me in the upper room and don't leave until the Holy Ghost comes. See, some of us need to get the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of us need to tap into our anointing. Amen. Hallelujah. I need to tap into my anointing. You're right, Alabaster Jar. I've been through a lot. Amen. And you know what? I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it no more. You see what I'm saying? I am not going to allow the gates of hell to prevail against my destiny, and I'm not going to allow you to let the gates of hell prevail against your destiny. See, I'm coming out victorious, and I'm bringing a whole lot of folk with me. Because of the anointing on my life, the devil's mad, and because of the anointing on your life, the devil's mad. Everybody who's listening to me right now, you're here by divine appointment. This is not just because you got a problem. This is because there's a hurricane. There's a tornado in the spiritual realm in your life trying to wipe out everything that you have worked for, everything that you stand for, trying to knock you onto your back. And cripple you. This is what I'm talking about. And I'm coming against that crippling spirit on today in the name of Jesus. See, I'm not mad at folk. I hate the devil. See, and because I hate the devil and I'm not scared of him, I don't mind speaking like this. Amen. Because you get to a point, like I said, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. If you fool me three times, that means I need to get back on top of my game. See, what happens is with experience, we learn that no weapon formed against us can prosper. See, because I've been through this before, I know that it's just a tactic of the enemy, and I know that he's toothless, amen. You know, he's like a roaring lion. He's prowling around like a roaring lion, but the difference between him, the devil, and a roaring lion is that the devil has no teeth. Amen. And the devil can't hurt me because, listen, the Bible says that the devil has already been stripped of his power on the cross. come on, somebody. And what we have to realize is that we have power, that power of the Holy Ghost, that Jesus said, you shall receive power, that's dunamis, amen. That I got some dynamite, see, I got some power, I have explosives on the inside of me that can blow up the enemy's camp, come on. And when you know who you are in the spirit realm, see, that's why you're under attack right now. The devil's been playing with your mind because he wants you to doubt who you are in the spirit realm. He wants you to be double-minded, and we know that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his or her ways, and the devil wants you to begin to say, well, God, did you really say that? Did you really call me? Did you call me to preach? Did you call me to prophesy? Did you call me to be an apostle? Did you call me to pastor? Did you call me to teach? God, did you really say that? Did you say I should go forth and evangelize? God, did you really call me to do this? That's what the devil wants you to have doubt in your mind that God really called you to do what he called you to do. But yes, he did. I'm here to tell you this. God did say it. You're not crazy. You're not imagining things. You know, God called you to start that business. God called you to write that book. He called you to cut that CD. He called you to praise him. He called you to that church. He called you. God called you into holiness. He called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God called you. God said it. God said what he said about you. God said you are wonderfully and fearfully made. He said you're the top and not the bottom. God said you're more than the conqueror. God said he's going to get the glory in your life. God said he has a great plan for your life, that you shall be the lender and not the borrower, that every place that your feet shall shine, you shall take possession of the land. God said it. God said it. Yes, he did. He's not a man that he should lie. God said it. Amen. And you have the power, amen, to annihilate every single enemy that comes your way, amen, in the spirit realm. And yes, somebody said we have authority. I believe it was somebody in the chat room said we have authority, and that word for authority is exousia, E-X-O-U-S-I-A, which means that you have the authority to speak to your situation, and you have the authority to speak to every single demonic stronghold that's coming against your life and say, dear devil, I cast you out. Satan, I cast you out. I rebuke you. In the name of Jesus, you have the authority to speak victory. You have the authority to speak life. You have the authority to speak to the storms in your life and say, peace be still. You have the authority to speak to your mind and tell your mind to be strong, to be strengthened. You have the authority to speak the word of God, to speak the word of God over that situation, and that situation will turn out for your good. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You all got me started. The chat room is just, they're having a praise party in the chat room. To God be the glory. Just go ahead and praise God. He's worthy. God is worthy. Amen. And God has not changed his mind about what he said about you. And when God had me put this thing about the storm up here, I knew that there were going to be some women and some men that came here today that were going through more than a hurricane in the natural. I knew that there were going to be some people here who have been through a storm. I'm not talking about the pain of the past. We healed the pain of the past. We declared that we're no longer victim. We know that we're more than conquerors, but we're in the storm. And you're in a storm right now because of your anointing. You're in a storm because of the anointing on your life. You know, everybody's not called to preach in the pulpit, but we're all called to bring God glory in our lives. Did you hear what I said? You might not be a pulpit preacher. You know, there's so many prophets coming to town, and they're telling everybody, you called to be a prophet, and you're an apostle. And, you know, it's amazing. Prophecy is good, and I'm a prophet. You know, I love prophecy. You know, the Lord uses me mightily in the office of prophet. But we have to be discerning of who we're prophesying to, because you could prophesy to someone that they're an apostle, and they just got saved last week. So now instead of them trying to be renewed in their minds and being transformed by the renewing of their mind by the word of God, now you have a baby Christian, And their mind is on apostleship. They want to be an apostle now because somebody prophesied that they were an apostle. This is what I want to say to you. This is another tactic that the devil uses to get us off track. Don't worry about getting a title. Don't worry about what people are going to call you. What I want to tell you is seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. When you seek God, let me tell you like this. When you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything that God has on the inside of you, ordained for your life, for this season and for the next season until the day that you go home to be with glory, will come forth. Did you hear what I'm saying? You don't have to worry about how am I going to be a prophet or how am I going to be a pastor or how am I going to be an evangelist or how am I going to be a preacher or how am I going to be a pastor. You don't have to worry about that. All you have to do is seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, no longer being conformed to the things of this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to know, to discern the good and acceptable will of the Lord. Then you will know what God called you to do. And guess what? Your gift will make room for you. Amen. God will open doors that no man can close, and he will close doors that no man can open. You don't have to put your, you know, so you knock on the door, knock, knock, somebody crack the door, and you pushing the door open, knocking them down. That's what we're doing in the kingdom. And I laugh, but it's not even funny because you don't want to get there too fast. My God, you don't want to get to the top. You don't, whatever we discern to be the top, you don't want a title too fast. You don't want to start preaching too fast. You don't want to get into where God is taking you too fast. Let God take you there. Because if you get there before you're ready, if you're not mature enough, if you're not ready, you will fall. Like so many are falling in the headlines right now. If you don't let God heal you, if you don't let God deliver you, if you don't let God deliver you, you got to be delivered from lust. You got to be delivered from wanting to sleep with every Tom, Dick, Sally, and Rabu. You have to be delivered from the sins of the past. Come on, somebody. I know people are going to probably start dropping off. But listen, we have to be delivered. Listen, you need to be delivered so that you can bring God the glory in your life. Come on, somebody. We need to be delivered. And I like what the Alabaster Jar is saying in the chat room. She's saying that if you're a prophet or a prophetess, people know it anyway. And that is just so true. And she said her title is Child of God, Daughter of God. If you, listen, your gift will make room for you. Listen, the devil knows who you are. You heard me say earlier that you're under attack, that the spirit of assassination, temptation, fear, doubt, dismay has been sent out against you because of your anointing. The devil knows you're anointed, and don't you think people will know that you're anointed? Your gift will put you in front of kings, great men, great women. You don't have to do it. We don't have to jockey for position. We're hurting each other. We're jockeying for position, and we are hurting each other. Amen. I just want you to know that that's part of the tactics of the enemy, to try to get you to focus on a position. And when we focus on the position, we are focusing on the gift and not the gift to whore. See, I need to be focused on God. You know, sometimes I can't stop being Pastor Rebecca. I used to say, well, you don't have to call me Pastor Rebecca. I used to try to be so humble and humble myself. But sometimes you can dumb down to the point where you have humbled yourself down so far that people don't take you seriously. God says humble yourself under his mighty hand, but don't dumb down. Don't play small just to make other people feel good about themselves. Amen. And if you're called to do ministry, then do the ministry. Amen. and do it unashamedly. Do it boldly, amen. And when you're doing the ministry, don't let the spirit of competition come in, because, look, there's enough work out here for all of us to do, my God. So the storms sometimes come because we're jealous, because we're coveting, because we're competing, amen, hallelujah, because we're looking at somebody else's vineyard, we're looking at somebody else's gifts, and we're saying, God, I want to operate like her. Listen, you don't even know what she had to go through. My God, I pray that nobody will look at me and say, God, give me what she has. My God, I just pray that nobody will be crazy enough to look at me and say, give me what she has. Because, you know, I had to be molested as a child. I had to be abandoned by my father. I had to have my mother watch my mother fight my father. I had to watch my mother go on welfare and then work two jobs in order to take care of her six kids. I had to, I turned to drinking and smoking marijuana. I think I was 14 years old when I smoked my first joint. You know, this is miserable, not because I wanted to get high, but because I wanted to feel better. Come on, somebody. I was hurting so much. My God. I had my virginity stripped from me before that. Come on. By an older boy. He raped me. You know, and that's what I'm saying. You got to know what I've been through, and now I'm in shame and guilt, and I'm walking around with my head down like David's daughter, Tamar, when her brother took advantage of her. My God, her brother raped her. My brother didn't rape me, but her brother raped her, and she had to put on ashes instead of her beauty. And that's what I had. I had ashes. My life was a heap of ashes. Do you understand? I had so much pain. I went looking for love in all the wrong places, waking up looking into all the wrong faces, you know, just not thinking I was worthy of the love of a good man. When a good man looked my way, I ran the other way. I always ran after the wrong men. My God, picking the wrong men because I didn't feel like I was worthy, because I felt dirty, because I just felt so small. I mean, I felt like nothing, you know. And this is all before I was 18 years old. What, you hear what I'm saying? Abortion and teenage mother and you know, then cocaine, and you know, just running with the wrong crowd. Dropped out of high school, and you know, A student. My God, but looking for my daddy, and he's on the other side of the town with a new family, not even thinking twice. I remember one time going to get money from my father because my mother sent me. He said, here come those kids. They come, and they only come when they want money. And he was talking to his friends, and I felt so bad. Do you know that for years I refused to ask a man for anything, even though I needed it? I refused to ask them for anything because of that stigma that was passed on to me through my father. But being on welfare, being talked down to, living in squalor, living with rats and roaches, you know, beneath me, beneath what God had ordained for me to live. Come on. I've been through so much, cheated on when I was 18 by my boyfriend. I mean, lied to by my first husband, who had secrets in the closet. My God. Oh, my God. I mean, just a mess. But God found me in the nick of time. You hear me? God found me in the nick of time. You know, I was working on Wall Street. I was wearing, you know, expensive business suits, expensive clothes, hair did, nails done. But inside I was a wreck. I was a total wreck on the inside. Had cocaine in my pocketbook everywhere I went, the little brown bottle with the spoon attached to the end, and just a wreck. But one night in the bar, my God, the Lord sent a man to a bar one night. He said enough, and he sent this man to a bar. He evangelized me, and that man is my husband of 15 years today. Amen. Hallelujah. I thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank God for Jesus. But that's the old testimony. Since I've been saved, in the church. You know how much church hurt I've had to endure since I've been saved? My God cleaned up my life. The smoke cleared. Stopped drinking on my honeymoon 15 years ago. Supernaturally, the Lord said, no more. So we said, no more drinking. My husband and I stopped drinking on our honeymoon. So there's no marijuana smoke, no cocaine, no alcohol for over 15 years. And now the smoke clears, and I have to deal with my reality that I have been trying to hide from all of these years. I had to go through that pain. And then once I got, the Lord started healing me of that pain, now I got sisters in the church hurting me. My God, women in the church hurting me, and it still continues today. I tell you, women in the church. And I'm like, my God, my God. So you don't want this. You don't want this, you know. I'm still suffering. I'm still going through. But when the storm comes, I'm not dealing with it the same way. Amen. Because I've had experience with Jesus. I've had enough experience to know that God's going to bring me through again. I have enough experience to say, God, take away the pain because I don't want to carry it. I have enough experience to know that that's another trick of the devil trying to take me back. See, I haven't fallen. It's been 15 years, and I know that it's only because of the grace, the mercy, and the favor of God that I'm still standing. I can only say that it's God that stopped, that I haven't had to pick up a drink in 15 years, that I haven't had to pick up a joint in 16 years. I haven't picked up cocaine in 17 years. I know it's only God. So I'm still standing, but I know it's not because of me. It's because of God. And that's what I'm here to tell you. We have to let God have his way. And that's why when I talk to you about being healed and delivered, listen to me. Y'all, will somebody call me? 646-652-4832. 646-652-4832. God is good and worthy to be praised. Listen to me. I was watching the news. I've been watching this particular story, Bishop Eddie Long, and these four boys, now five young, they're not boys, they're men, five young men. And, you know, just recently it came out in the news again. After they got the money, they are now still talking about what happened to them with Bishop Eddie Long. And I'm here to say publicly that I believe them. I'm publicly saying that I believe them because I know what it feels like and to be molested. And I know from experience that when you tell on a molester, that the molester will always say, she's lying, I didn't do it. And that's exactly what's going on. And I've written in my book, The Cry of a Woman's Heart, if your child says that somebody's touching them, then believe them. Believe your child, you know, investigate it, look into it, don't ignore it, don't keep the man in your house, don't keep sending your child to that babysitter. If your child cries every time you leave them alone with that person, something's wrong. Look into your child's eyes. If your child looks scared when you leave them with somebody, then investigate. Think about get a new babysitter. Your child should not be scared. Your child should not be scared. And this is what I'm saying to you about being delivered and letting God deliver you before you start preaching, before you start pastoring, before you start working in children's church, before you have kids. Because this same mess that's been perpetrated on you is going to pass down. That's a demon spirit. And you got to be delivered. Don't think I'm okay, I could put on my makeup and my suit and still do this. Yeah, you can, but let God deliver you so that nobody gets hurt. Amen. We have some callers. Amen. Hallelujah. Honey, you're on the air. Welcome back.
Yeah, it's powerful what you're saying. And more than people being healed and delivered, the very elect of God is falling. So you have things going on. You have some people, the pain is haunting them from the past, and some have skeletons that they're operating out of. But as you said earlier, in most of your show, many are being deceived. And that person, I talked about it on Wednesday, can you stand to be blessed? Some people can't handle the blessing. whether it's the pastor, you know, doing ungodly, you know, things with the congregation, or, like I said, in the case of these news hitting the main media, whatever the evil is, we don't want to lose focus. Whatever it is, it's all evil in the eyes of God.
Yeah.
And the word says we need to hate what God hates. So we're not here to throw stones, but we are sure here to say, if you're a woman, a man of the light, how much more does your light need to shine now?
Yeah.
The only reason certain things are still going on is because people are silent. And we got to let our light so shine and walk this earth so boldly and be courageous. And, you know, the people, like you said, of integrity and character are the ones keeping quiet. And God is saying it's time to become bolder. It's time to step up to the plate. It's time to, you know, for the sons of God to be revealed. And that's what God is doing. He's turning up the heat on us who really is serving him in spirit and in truth. So most of your listening audience are people who are hungry for God, and God is saying to you, through mainly this woman of God, you know, it's time for us to go up to another level, to turn it up a notch, to be so bold and to speak out. And that's what God is saying to us. We can't just look at something and say, you know, what a shame, but we got to roll up our sleeves and do something about it. So I just thank God that some people are this boldness and courage is being stirred up. You know, I don't. One thing about new creation, we're not ones just to do a lot of, you know, heteric and heresy, but kind of practice what you preach. And that's that's what we're standing for. And I thank God that the people at New Creation that's coming that way are really trying to put their best foot forward and live circumspectly that these news stories that are coming out is really giving the church a black eye. But what are we doing for the church?
Amen. And I have a question for you. The Alabaster Jar wants to know, what do you mean by that when you mentioned that some can't handle the blessing? So can you, she wants to know, can you speak a little bit more? Can you share a little bit more about that?
There's so many examples in the Bible, but just like in the case of Saul, the people voice was, in Saul's life, became stronger than the voice of God. And he disobeyed God on three occasions, and the kingdom was ripped away from him. God took Saul from a nobody to a somebody. And Samuel reminded him when the kingdom was ripped away that God gave you the opportunity of a lifetime to be significant. But yet you gave into the voice of the people. You gave into the very thing that God gave you. And that's what's going on, the temptation of money and power, the temptation of having power over people. You'll be amazed at how many people who have the ability or opportunity for someone to confide in them, or someone to put their trust in them, someone to lean on them, and they use that to their advantage. So you can take a blessing that God has given you and misuse it, whether it be money, whether it be power, or whether it be influence. You can take that and misuse it and turn it over to the enemy. So we got to be careful that we stay in prayer. How we got the blessing is how we're going to keep the blessing. And number two, the enemy is always at work. The devil has three objectives: to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's not going to let up, as you said earlier. So that's what I mean by it. And you said it earlier, many are receiving a false prophet over their life, or the false prophecy over their life, and they're moving out to fulfill it, and God is nowhere in that. So people are getting blessed, and they have this outward appearance of being blessed, but they're not handling what they're building, and they're not handling very well the blessings of God on their lives. So be ready for what God is trying to give you, and wait and be patient on the Lord. And Pastor Rebecca, that's what you're saying over this whole show. Most people are backsliding and going back to the vomit of life instead of allowing God to build their character, their integrity, their faith, so they can handle the blessing that God is trying to get to them.
Yes, amen. Thank you so much for elaborating on that. And it reminds me of a book that Bishop T.D. Jakes wrote earlier in my Christian walk, Can You Stand to Be Blessed? And that's basically, you know, definitely Saul is a good example of the blessing and us not being able to handle the blessing. And you know what, if God has ordained for us to be blessed, and he has, the blessing can consist of many different compartments, not compartments, but parts. In other words, we go from blessing to blessing, amen, as we go from faith to faith. So it is my belief that when we're ready, then God will release each element of the blessing or the anointing that we need for where he's taking us. In other words, God will anoint us for where he has ordained us and what he has ordained for us. But we can't run out ahead of God is what I'm saying. And that's my cry, you know, because my thing is seeing pastors in the news. So this other pastor, don't really know what his name is. And he had raped three women. And then I saw another pastor. We had Pastor Zachary Timms, who just recently went home to be with the Lord. And, you know, he died, and they're still investigating the white powder that was found on his body in the plastic bag. And so my heart is broken when I see pastors, like you said, Pastor Anthony, the very elect fall. And God said in his word that it would happen. And we're still in line with the topic today, and I see you, caller. I'm going to put you on the air. And we're still in line with the topic today, dealing with the storms in life. And sometimes when the storms get too difficult and we are not dealing with them according to the word of the Lord, which talks to us in Ephesians 6 about spiritual warfare, putting on the whole armor of God, when that happens, then we are in position to be deceived. And we can fall. So I was thinking, God, even with my testimony that I haven't fallen, but I'm not bragging in myself saying that I can't fall. I will say that as long as you stay rooted and grounded in God, then he is able to keep you from falling. So, Pastor, yes.
Amen. That's powerful. You know, I think you could be confident without being puffed up. And it's amazing how you know, those who have gotten to a level of confidence in their faith walk, if you didn't have confidence, yes, you're prone to fall like anybody else. So I have confidence in the Christ in me. And they, you know, we're so rushed to say in today's world, don't pass judgment, don't be too quick to put your mouth on a situation. Yet we're trying to encourage those who are, Pastor Rebecca, in some cases, some people are afraid that they're going to fall. They are scared to death that they're going to make a mistake and fall and be like so many who are falling. But unless you have confidence that you won't fall, yes, you're going to be prone to fall. And it's not us, but Jesus said on many occasions, have faith in God, also have faith in me. And that's all you're saying. People don't understand what makes you tick, why you come on these radio shows, you know, why you've had longevity in certain areas of your life. It's the Christ in you. But we just need to make it so plain that you got to sometimes talk to yourself. I'm not falling to that. I'm speaking words over my own life. I'm the favorite of God. We just went to a pastor friend of ours' wake. And this man has so many accolades because he preached to the very end. He was rushed to the hospital right after preaching. He had so much respect in the community of the New Jersey, New York, Connecticut area, and this man served the kingdom of God with all of his heart, his might, his strength. And I told my wife, that's how I want my exit to be. I want to go down swinging. So unless you have confidence that you can win, yeah, you are prone to fall. So we're just trying to encourage people of God, be confident in yourself through the Christ that's in you.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, honey. Well, stay with us. We have another call. That's so powerful what you said. I would like to elaborate, but I want to put this call on the air. Area code 973, you're on the air. Welcome to the Woman to Woman broadcast.
God bless you, Pastor Rebecca. This is Sister Tina. How are you?
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Welcome. Welcome to the Woman to Woman show.
Yes, God bless you. I was listening to Pastor Anthony, and I was getting such a blessing to what he was saying. But originally when I had hit the prompt to come in, you know, because I spoke to you already, how much that note helped me. Amen. That note was such a blessing. Such a blessing of the storms of life and how they may come and how you may deal with them. But don't let the storm stop you because you're going somewhere. And I remember the most important part of that was that I was like, my God, the storms of life may come, but God's going to take me somewhere in them. And I even gave you my personal testimony. And I never even looked at it that way. Like, wow, my God, God took me somewhere in my storm. He elevated me. And I didn't think that was going to be possible, to be elevated in my storm, because I thought my storm was going to, you know, really knock me down. And so I was like, oh, my God, this is just so uplifting, so powerful for me that I can praise God through my storm, that what I thought was going to happen when at the end of my storm and the reason for my storm, God just changed everything. He gave me a new destination. He gave me a new purpose, a new journey. Mm-hmm. He changed my life. There's a renewal because of my storm. So if I can tell anyone, it can be a renewal because of your storm. There can be newness that's brought in you. Doesn't mean that I'm not going to experience more storms. Doesn't mean that they're not going to still come. But now I know, I'm a witness to that when the storms come, there's life after. My God.
Wow. You know, and that's just so powerful. There's life after the storm. And, you know, you said that God took you somewhere in your storm, and it wasn't. Am I clear in saying that it's not where you expected God to take you?
No, I wasn't where I expected God to take me. I thought my storm will be over if He gave me something new that I wanted, and God said, "No, that's not the reason why you're going through this storm. I gotta transition your entire life. I can't just give you new something new. I'm creating newness in you."
Oh, that's good. That is good. And that's what I was saying, that God is building the character in you that you're going to need for your destination. See, we so often looking at an alabaster jar said, that's powerful. She said, that was so good. Thank you for sharing. And Alabaster Jaw said, this is a powerful show. Thank you. God bless you. And you're adding to it because, you know, when two or more gather in His presence, He's right there with us in the midst of Him, in the midst of us, you know, because this show is to glorify God. That's the only reason we come. So I know that's why you was Alabaster Jaw said earlier that she was drawn here by the Spirit. The Lord drew her here. So I just thank God that He did for this time so that she could hear this word. But,
right.
Tina, you know, that's just so powerful because God, because of the anointing, see, and every one of us has an anointing on our lives that's going to bring God glory. And because of that anointing, the storm will come. The anointing and the destination, because of what's in us and where we're going with that and what we're going to do with it, the purpose, the anointing, the destination, and the purpose, because of these three things, the storm will come. Because of your anointing, what God put on the inside of you, because of your destination, where God is taking you, and because of your purpose, the fact that He's going to get the glory from what's in you and where He's taking you and what you're going to do with it, the storm will come in your life. And the devil sends it to destroy you, but God sends, but God allows the storm to come so that you can be developed, amen. And he develops some things on the inside of you. And if we're not careful, that's what I was saying earlier, we'll be looking at God to bring us a husband, bring me a husband, or bring me a house, or bring me a car, or give me a church, or give me a title, or an audience. And God is trying to work out something, and those are all things in the natural, but God is trying to work out some things in the spiritual realm, in the supernatural realm, because that's the thing that's really going to allow us to possess all things when we get where God wants us to be in the spiritual realm. And it's just so powerful when we can have an appreciation and say, you know, what, the life, the winds, and the rain and life and the storm is raging around me, but it is well in my soul. My God. Because God has totally, and we were praising God on text. You sent me a text message and I text you back. Next thing we went into a praise for about half an hour on text.
No, longer.
More than that, actually. But I thank God for your testimony, Tina, that God, I saw some of the transformation because I've only known you for about, has it been less than a year?
It'll be a year in October.
A year in October. We met at the women's, at my women's conference. It seems like I've known you forever. But I have seen some of the transformation. And it's not, you didn't get a title. You didn't get a new house. You didn't.
No.
You already had a nice car. You didn't get a new car. You didn't get married. So what is it, some would say? What has God done for you through your storm that you're so excited about? I don't see anything. What has God done?
Wow, that was good, Pastor. That was good. Amen. People do say that. They're like, but you know what? I can tell you, once people see me now and they know I went to church, they can see the Christ in me. They can see a newness in me. They can see that something has changed. God has created me to have a better relationship with him. This time that I spent with him, oh, my God, I can't even explain it. The joy that he has given me, even in the midst of the storm. And I know everything else is going to come, but he knew that I didn't need joy from wealth or fame or a new car or a new house. He's like, you already have a lot of those things already, but you don't have the joy that I want to put into. This joy is everlasting. This joy will never go away. That joy that you have can go away. You can lose your car. You can lose your job when I stop working. You can lose a lot of things, but the joy that God wanted to give me, I mean, this joy, you can't take it away. And that's what God has given me. He has renewed me and restored me. So I'll tell anyone that I've been renewed and I've been restored in God's love and his joy.
My God. Hallelujah. That's my kind of testimony. You know, I said a couple of weeks ago, I said, what happened to the testimony of I know I've been changed? My God.
Right.
What happened to that? You know, or I know him. You know, when me and Pastor Anthony got married 15 years ago, the preacher asked us, do you know him? Do you know him as your personal Lord and Savior? Do you know him? And you know, then that's pretty much all we knew him as was our personal Lord and Savior. But even today, as we're talking about the storms, we can say, and I know you too can say, Tina, that you know him as Deliverer, that you know him as
Deliverer. I know him. As the deliverer, I know as someone who thought her identity was wrapped up into her profession. And God said, okay, I'm going to identify who you are in me, in Christ, not in what you do. I'm telling you, my God, not in what you do and what title you have, I'm going to identify you as a child of God. And so I'm telling you, it's just a newness, and I thank God for it. I think that when he says that you're going somewhere, you're going to be going somewhere that deliverance is going to happen. Joy is going to happen. You're going to shed some tears. And I did, but I had so many breakthroughs. I didn't even know that I was carrying so much stuff. So I'm telling you, God is good. I'm telling you, the storms came, and I thought, oh, my goodness. Oh, I'm going to keep crying. I can't believe this, God. You gave me, you told me that you wanted me to move in another, like have me move into another direction, but I didn't know the next step that you really wanted me to deliver me, to live a more a life the way you want my life to be. And so you had to just take me, and you had to take me through some stuff. You had to strip me through some stuff. I had to surrender to him. For my God, the joy in what I have, for my God, where I was 3 years ago and where I am now is not the same. People didn't say my address stayed the same. You know, my name was the same, but Tina is not the same.
Amen, I'm not the same. And that's just so powerful. In my book, Don't Die in the Wilderness, I talk about the fact that God is trying to take us to a place, to the promised land, you know. And a lot of people would say, well, that's Old Testament, the promised land, you know, the that was for the Israelites. Yeah, but we're the Israelite of today, and God's promised land is a place in him.
Right.
That's prosperous, you know. I mean, you talk of, when you want to talk about prosperity, and I believe in prosperity for the saints, but prosperity gospel is when we get to a place in him where the storms can't shake us. When we get to a place in him, we have a peace that surpasses all understanding. When we get to a place in him where he is our delight, when we delight ourselves in him, and he in turn gives us the desires of our hearts, that our desires of our hearts come second to our love for him and wanting to be in his presence, you know. And it's just like God will allow the storms as long as we don't have that structure where he first, as long as we don't have that priority where God is first, God will allow the storms to come. And not only that, though, sometimes even when you do have that priority, but just because God is still taking you to the promised land because we haven't gotten there yet, God will allow the storms to come to get you closer. And just because of this, how about this? God has more in store for you. On a spiritual level, he's going to allow the storms to come. Because one thing we haven't talked about that God wants to develop in each and every one of us, and that's more faith. That's greater faith.
Amen.
So, I mean, that's powerful. That is just so powerful, Tina, that God is taking you somewhere and you haven't moved, haven't changed your location, but you've changed your destination. Haven't changed your location, but you've arrived at a different destination.
Amen.
God's taking you from where you were to where you need to be for this next dimension in your life, for where he's taking you next. So I'm just praising God with you, my sister. And just really excited about everything that he's doing in your life. And I just encourage you to keep on keeping on with Jesus. And for all of the listeners, we do have time for you to call in, 646-652-4832. Alabaster Jar is asking about my book. Alabaster Jar, you can pick up a copy of any one of my books on my website, nccmonline.org. You'll see all of the four books there. Most of them, three of them are available on Amazon, amazon.com, Pump Up the Power, Pump Up the Power, The Cry of a Woman's Heart, and Nobody's Business. That's a novel. Nobody's Business is a novel. Those three books are available on Amazon. Don't Die in the Wilderness is not available on Amazon. That's only available through my website. So you can get that at nccmonline.org. And these are powerful books. They're transitional of my life. Nobody's Business was my first book with my testimony and, well, it's fiction, but, I fictionalized my testimony. And you'll enjoy that book. It's a blessed book. It's a novel. You're going to love Clara. You're going to hate her. Nobody's Business. And then we moved into the other books as well. The Cry of a Woman's Heart was the next book. Daddy Love was another novel that I'm going to re-release. And then Pump Up the Power, Get the Life You Want. Once we got healed, we were going to pump up the power. And then Don't Die in the Wilderness, for those wilderness seasons that we have as Christians, you know. Don't Die in the Wilderness, another powerful book. I'm also going to reintroduce that book in the spring with my new book that's coming out. Look forward to it. I'm going to write 100
Amen.
Books in this lifetime. I'm going to write 100 good books. I'm leaving a legacy. So get them while they're hot. So, Tina, thank you so much for calling in and just sharing your testimony. You said that your identity was once wrapped up in your title. And we talked about title, in your job title, though. And
yeah.
We talked about titles earlier. And and what did God show you about all of that? I mean, just I know you probably have to go, but just before you go, briefly, what did God? Oh, okay, praise God. What did God show you about titles and identity?
Oh well, what the Lord showed me that first of all, that who I am is not based on what I do and what my title is. You know, and he already knows the purpose and the direction of my life before I was born. So God just had to, he had to just strip what I thought I was, who I thought I was, and create, create a newness. And as he was talking, I wanted to say, had something that was coming in my head. You know, when we go through the storm, and usually when we come out, how many of us have gone through a storm, a breakthrough, and something comes out, and we started doing things, and we started fulfilling our dream and walking in our purpose? Some people have gone through a storm and had a breakthrough through their storm, and now they're writing a book, or they started a new job. And so I have to say that because after my storm, God has had me in so many different new arenas. First of all, I'm on your show talking about the Lord. This would not have happened. Okay? I wasn't a believer. That wasn't just where I was. And so what God has done with me, after my storm, he has now allowed me to walk in some things that I was passionate about, that I can fulfill some dreams. He's had me doing some things that I put to the back burner because my identity was lost in my profession. My identity was lost in some past pain and hurt that I went through. But once I got that breakthrough, now I'm walking more for purpose through him. Of things that I enjoy doing, that I can serve God and serve others and be happy about it. Because some of us serve God, serve others and serve God, but we're not happy.
Wow. That's good. That's good. Wow. We need a breakthrough. And that's what I was talking about earlier,
right,
about dealing with our demons. You know, dealing with those demons of the past, dealing with those demons that will try to have us doing things that are destructive to ourselves and to others. We need to deal with the side of us that's not conducive to the plan
right.
of God for our lives. You know, I need to, in order for me to be totally successful, I need to stop behaviors that are destructive to me,
right.
first
right.
and foremost. So, and I heard Alabaster John say earlier that it's a heart issue, that God
yes.
truly is concerned about our hearts. You know, he wants
right.
to know, is your heart, he wants to know, but Ezekiel, in the book of Ezekiel, God says he'll give us a new spirit. He'll give us a new heart. He'll give us a new heart and a new
right.
spirit. So God is going to perform a heart transplant, and that's what he wants to do. But we have to allow God to
yes.
do that. And a lot of that takes place during the storm, you know, while we're
yes.
in the middle of a storm. You know, again, I want you to remember, I want you, everybody that's listening, to remember that if God spoke something over your life, like Jesus told the disciples to go to the other side, God might have told you to do something, or he might have spoken something into your life. And God will never tell you to do something or speak that thing into your life if he did not believe that you had what you needed on the inside of you to bring it to pass. And or if he were not going to be with you through the whole thing to bring it to pass. See, a lot of us, we get the vision, but we don't know what we're going to have to go through to obtain the vision. See, if anybody had told me that I had to go through some of the things that I've gone through pastoring the church with my husband, I don't know if I would have stepped into it so boldly. You know, so God does not always give us the big picture. He gives us a taste of what it's going to look like when we accomplish what we're striving to accomplish, but he does not always let us know what we're going to go through to get there. And sometimes we could be in the middle of a storm, but we don't recognize the fact that God is at work in the middle of that storm. Like you, Tina, I mean, my God, how many times did you look up in the middle of your pain and say, oh, this is God. God's at work now.
No.
You know, I mean, because it hurts. You know, when people are turning their backs on you, when people are walking away from you, it hurts. You know, you're like, what did I do to him or what did I do to her? But I think we have a couple of callers. Amen. I'm going to put these callers on the air. Amen. But I think Stan said it. You know, sometimes you just have to let people go. He said that when he called in, you just have to let sometimes some people you just have to let go. Area code 423, you're on the air. Welcome to the Woman to Woman Show.
God bless you. I am Apostle Vincent Luster. God bless you, Pastor Rebecca.
God bless you.
Prophet Diane Jackson told me a lot about you. Good news, of course. And gave me the number to call in on today. And I was sitting here listening to your show and enjoying it and just being encouraged as well as just listening to your testimony was such a blessing and a strength to me. Because I want to kind of go back to the beginning, maybe not the beginning, but when I called in, I heard you was talking about the hurricane, the storm, and the storms in people's lives and that that sort of thing you were talking about. And if I just may add to just share
yes.
that also in the Hurricane Irene, I was in prayer and the Lord began to speak to me. And I heard you was talking about the spiritual storms that take place in our lives and what's going on in the land and what's going on in the earth and in God's people's lives. And this here, I was sharing with a woman of God this morning that the Hurricane Irene, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what is this with these storms that's coming and why are they so destructive? And so this morning the Lord began to share with me about the Hurricane Irene, that she's coming with anger and wrath, and she comes by disobedience. And also the Lord said to me that the earth is responding to the immortality and the sins of man. And so now the storms that we see that are coming, they're coming with an assignment and with a purpose and to fulfill the assignment that has been sent to do because of the sins of man and the immortality of man's sins that has covered the earth. And also that's the natural side, but on the flip side, on the spiritual side, that hurricane, that storm, as I heard you mention earlier, those storms are coming to test the foundation of our walk with God, to test our foundation, to see how strong it is, to see if we built it up on solid foundation, if we built our foundation on the Word of God, if we fasted and prayed and we stayed strong in the Lord, just staying in the Word and allowing the Word to strengthen us. So now the storms of life is also coming to test us in this hour to see who is standing, who foundation is strong, is going to stand in this storm. And I heard you also say that as long as we live in life, we're going to experience storms. But I also heard you say about if we're called, if we have a call of God on our life, whatever God calls us to do, whatever that assignment, that call is, that we're going to encounter a storm. So it was just an encouragement just to hear you, especially your testimony. I mean, it really just, I was sitting here listening and I was saying, oh, wow, this really blessed me. And we don't know why we go through what we go through in life, but
yeah.
One thing I tell my sons and my daughters and those that I mentor and I teach, I tell, because I'm on block, I'm on the radio, I do an airing on Monday evenings at 8:30. And but as what I tell them, I said, listen, I said, we, it's not about us. What we go through, we're paying a price for somebody else. So all that you went through, you are paying a price for someone else to be healed and to be delivered. You also was paying a price for those books that you birthed out of your womb. I was listening to you about the books that you have. You paid a price for those books. Had you not experienced what you did, you would have never birthed the books that you birthed out of you. So now, when people read your books, they're going to read your pain. They're going to read about your pain. They're going to read about your storm and your tribulations and your trials. But also, they're going to be delivered and healed from that. So we pay a price for the anointing of God on our life, but the anointing is for those that got assigned and appointed in our lives to be set free and delivered. So even though in the midst of the storm, the hurricane or the thunderstorm or whatever that storm is, as I was just listening to you, we don't know right then that God's purpose is being worked out in the storm. All we know is that we're going through a storm, we're going through hell, and God, I want to come out of this. I don't like it. Don't see the divine purpose. We don't understand what God is doing in the midst of it. He is making and shaping and molding us. Many times God allows us to go through storms, and it's because he has, because sometimes some of us are hard-headed and we're rebellious, and we don't want to hear what God is saying, so he has to allow our boat to be shaken in order for us to conform and walk into obedience and hear God. So he's doing a lot of shaking to get some unnecessary mess out of us so he can put the necessary stuff in us that we need to fulfill the will of God in this hour. So I just thank God for this calling in and listening. I definitely have been blessed just listening to you, and I just appreciate your anointing. I just want to say to you, woman of God, to continue doing what you're doing. I believe Papa Jackson told me that you've been doing this for 8 years. I said, oh, my God, that is so awesome. So I want to encourage you just to continue on, because I know people are being blessed everywhere, and there's going to be more people calling in on your radio show that you don't even know is listening. They may not say a word, but what you're saying is being an encouragement and strength to them. And I'm going to be quiet, and I don't want to go too much.
Jesus. God. Amen. Apostle Lester, you just blessed me, and I just thank God for you coming in and just speaking those words of exhortation and confirmation into my soul, and even about my testimony, because it is one of victory, and I just thank God for whence he's brought me, and I do realize that is the price that I pay for the anointing, and I didn't ask for it, but God chose me, and I'm honored and humbled, to be used of the Lord. It didn't have to be me. So, if it were going to be anybody, I just thank God that he allowed me to live the life that I have lived so that now others can be set free. And he's given me that heart, to see others walking in total victory. Even with the thing that I was talking about with the molestation, that's another branch that the Lord is really tugging on me to start an organization for information so that we can be knowledgeable about child abuse and molestation. I'm not one just to point fingers and talk about he did this and she did that, but I really want to do something about it, and I believe it's God's heart that some of us stand up and just do something. The people perish for lack of knowledge. So I just thank God for you, and I felt a breath of fresh air in the spiritual realm through what you were speaking, and I just thank God for coming and breathing in my direction today.
God bless you.
Amen. God bless you. Praise God. We have another call I'm going to try to get on before we go off the air. Area code 347, you've been holding. You're on the air. Welcome to the Woman to Woman show.
Hello, it's Stan. Great show, like usual. Great show.
God bless you, Stan.
You did the thing that you said in the beginning, because I had to leave, was so great. It was so good what you said. It is really the thought that I really believe that if people really took 90, like you said, 100% responsibility for every challenge that you have. For you, Storm, for people, I would take it more like a challenge. You know, everybody's going to face different challenge in their lives. And it's looking at yourself and saying, I could go through this. I could make it. And really believing in you. I think that if people really, really believed in themselves more and gave themselves credit for a lot of stuff that they've done good and everything and really believed that, it would be a better world. I truly believe a lot of people are scared and are living with fear, are not living with the thing of saying, I am a human being. I was brought in this world as a great human being. I could do great things in this world if you believe it. If you don't believe in yourself, you know, things bad will happen to you. If you don't believe in your core that you're a great person, bad things will happen to you, you know. And if you don't take responsibility and accountability for the choices you make in your life, you know, if you don't start saying, I'm going to stop being a victim, I'm going to stop being things, I'm going to find a way to resolve those issues, I'm going to find a way to this, and it could take time. I've done it in my life. I had a lot of issues in my life I had to deal with, and I've done it through believing in myself and taking responsibility and stop blaming other people and stop blaming things. And the way I'm hearing you, there's a lot of things I feel that person who's Christian, I feel a lot of Christians are putting a lot of things on God, but God has nothing to do with it. It has to do with you. A lot of people are covering their ass and saying, God this, God that. No. You didn't do what you needed to do. Stop asking God to do everything for you when you don't do the necessary thing for yourself, first of all.
I agree with that. I agree that God won't do anything for us that we can do for ourselves. So I agree with that. But, you know, we are Christians, so we spend a lot of time. Are you Christian, Stan?
Yes. I used to be a Christian. I'm not a Christian as much as before, but I respect Christian. I respect your show because you're talking a lot of stuff that I believe in. I don't believe that you need to be a Christian to do everything that you're saying, but there's a lot of things that you said in the beginning that resonated with me because that's what I truly believe. I truly believe what you said in the morning, in the beginning. And when there was a storm and everybody was fearful and this and that was going to happen, people are fearful. We live in a century that people are fearful. People don't believe in themselves. People don't believe that there's greatness. People don't believe, I can't make it. Why can't you? Why?
That's right. And see, our hope goes even deeper than that because we know that we can make it and we can do all things through Christ, you know, who strengthens us. So that's the core. So, because we are believers, we are Christians, and we are just really, a lot of us here just sold out to the gospel where we believe that God is the force. You know, a lot of people believe in different forces, but we believe God is the force, that in him we live and move and have our being. So that's why you hear a lot of people saying God did this and God did that, because that's our truth, that's our belief. And you made a great point in saying that some things, though, we're waiting for God to do, and God is literally waiting for us to move. There are things that we have to take responsibility for and say, you know what, I'm going to own this. I'm going to get myself up out of this destructive behavior. I'm going to stop doing it. But then there are times when we have to lean on the Lord and trust in the Lord and rely on his supernatural strength, because sometimes in our natural ability there are some things that we can't do. But what you were saying earlier about taking 100% responsibility, owning up to your own self, owning up to your mistakes, looking at the storm and saying to yourself, I can make it through this, that's absolutely positively what we believe, that we can make it through the storm. And we take it a step further, saying, with God, I can do this. And that's the hope that we have. With God, I can do this. And it just gives you more power. You heard me, I think you were God, talking about power and talking about authority that we have through Christ Jesus. there are a lot of people that are, and we're going to go off the air in 2 minutes, so I just want to say this to you, Stan. I thank you so much for listening to the broadcast and even for calling in for the second time. I really appreciate having you as a listener. And just want to just do one more explanation about Jesus Christ. We don't have Jesus. Our primary focus for Jesus is not so we can do things or so that we can have things and so that we can become somebody. You know, you agree with me that a lot of people have stuff and they're doing things and they're becoming things without Jesus. I know you agree with me on that, right? So
yes.
We all know that you can do things, you know, without acknowledging God, that you can have greatness without acknowledging God. Our core reason for delighting ourselves and being so grateful for Jesus Christ is the salvation piece, you know, that now we don't even have to fear death, you know, and that kind of like just puts the whipped cream on top of the ice cream. Like, I'm going to live this life to the fullest, and when it's over, I'm going to have even more of a life because it doesn't end. So when you hear Christians talking about God, I just want to explain to you that we put a lot of focus on him because we're so grateful to God for that life and that life more abundantly through Christ. Did that make any sense to you?
Yes, it does. It does. And that's why I tell a lot of people that I know are not Christian and everything to listen to your show because you explain it properly. You explain a lot of things. I think as you're one of the best minister or preacher that I know. I'm going to give you explain things in the reality of the situation. It doesn't explain that some people doesn't believe, but I really respect what you're saying. I really respect what you're saying. That's why I came back to the show. And I think you're one of the best pastors, and you should definitely do something with other pastors of what you're saying, because a lot of other pastors don't have way you're saying things, don't have that way of saying. Put a lot of things up, just come in my church and pray God, and God will do everything. And I find that as a weakness. But you're saying it and everything is a lot better. I think it would be a lot better if they did it the way you're doing it, but a lot of people don't, as pastors.
Well, to God be the glory, and I just thank you, brother. I'm going to call you brother for stopping by and being with us on today. And come back again, okay?
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Stan closed us out at the 3 o'clock hour. We have stopped streaming. Amen. And I just want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to thank all of the people who are on the phone lines, Apostle Lester, Tina Lane, and Pastor Anthony, everybody that called in today to make the show what it was. And we all know that God is getting the glory through this whole broadcast. So join me next week right here on the Women to Women Show, blogtalkradio.com/power. Tell somebody about the broadcast. God bless you, Apostle. God bless you, Tina.
Bless you.
Amen. Amen. So this is Pastor Rebecca. Join me next week. We're going to have Nicole B. Simpson from 911. She's a survivor of the 9/11, and she'll be here to share her testimony and to talk about her book. So come and join us next week. We look forward to seeing you there, seeing you here. Now go in peace and serve the Lord, knowing that God loves you. And so do I. And you can do all things. You really can do all things through Christ. God bless you. Amen.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, unemployment. This song is for you.
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine. But clouds and it's dark in my heart and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day. But where are my blue skies? Where is the love and the joy that you promised to tell me it's alright?
I'll be honest with you.
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain fell from heaven.
When I think how much better I'm gonna be when this is over.
I smile, even though I hurt, see I smile. I know God is working, so I smile. Even though I've been here for a while,
what you do?
I smile.
Come on and
smile.
people.
Take that from you. I see you. Smile.